This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. You're listening to the best of America Tonight.
There are serious problems with the ACA. We're seeing collapsing markets in some areas of the country where even though people have subsidies, they're not going to be able to buy an insurance policy. So our job is not done.
But the job is down the drain for now when it comes to health care. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I apologize in advance for starting with the beleaguered topic of, well, the century, and that would be my health care and yours, because it's the same old thing that we heard before. The White House wants the Senate to try again on health care, but it's not looking good. And it's not looking good because there wasn't enough votes the last time around, and that was Friday, and Collins saying that she won't be swayed with the health care vote, along with some others, pretty much let you know it's not happening. It's not happening. This dog is just not going to hunt. And that's the way it looks. And you know what? It's interesting because one of the things being threatened is Kellyanne Conway is saying that President Trump is close to a decision on whether to end key payments to insurance companies under Obamacare. In an interview that she did as part of the Sunday Swirl, which is my nickname for the talking heads on television all over the place on Sunday morning, she gave that interview as the senior advisor and said that there would be a decision on sharing reduction payments, the subsidies that the president threatened to end in the wake of a Senate Republican effort to repeal and replace Obamacare. So are they going to make them, are they going to make those payments that have been blamed by Democrats for causing insurance companies to have less market certainty? There, we don't know yet at this point. And at the same time, they're with this whole tug of war over health care and this whole replace thing. Nothing has moved the needle in the direction that the Prez was hoping for. So if there is a threat, how seriously are these senators going to take this threat? And it was all over Twitter this past weekend, the president saying he's impatient with Congress and their lack of their ability to accomplish the goal of replacing the Affordable Care Act, which, of course, was President Obama's signature deal, the health care bill. Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price threw in his two cents, in fact, and said he would implement Obamacare because it's the current law, that he has to do it. He would do it. So it was failed Senate votes. It was a whole week of that on whether to repeal or repeal and replace the 2010 law, which has provided some people who weren't insured some insurance. And Republican congressional leaders say they are ready to move on to other issues, but Trump is saying he's not letting it go. So what does that mean? Just that there's an August recess coming up. The Senate is expected to stay another week before recessing, and the White House budget director, Mick Mulvaney, is saying they need to stay, they need to work, they need to pass something. Mulvaney, I hate to tell you this, but if they don't pass anything, they're leaving. They're just going to leave. Remember, it's three branches of government, right? And you're not running that branch of government, the legislative branch. So that's kind of intriguing, too, in talking about whether or not to end the cost-sharing payments to insurance companies. And I already mentioned that. That's huge. That's sitting like a ripe apple right there waiting for someone to take a bite out of it, and that someone would be the president. So stay tuned, because this week I'm sure there will be more and more and more about health care and failure to do anything and a lack of movement of any sort. I don't see any sort of movement, right? None. Oh, by the way, that word bipartisan, every once in a while we get to use a word that I like, but we frequently don't hear on this show or probably any others. But the president's nomination for a key position as U.S. ambassador to the Netherlands was widely applauded. So the nomination of the former House Intelligence Committee Chair Pete Hoekstra to be an ambassador to the Netherlands is kind of a unique situation. But the Michigan Republican is popular with some Dems. So within days of announcing that, he got a lot of high endorsements, including from former Congressman Jane Harman from California, who said, "I am thrilled for Pete. I worked closely with him when I chaired and was ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee. And we show that bipartisanship can work. He can bring those skills and he can go back to his Dutch roots to his new post. How cool, you know, is that?" And certainly not the only one. Also, there were others. Also, there were other Democrats that said they thought it was a smart deal. Hoekstra, you forget, but in the 90s, in the early 90s, he came out of seemingly nowhere to win a congressional seat in a very big upset. He had a budget less than 50 grand, riding a bicycle to meet voters, hand-delivered press releases to radio stations. He's very unknown. He won the Republican primary over a 13-term congressman, Guy Vanderjagt, who was the chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee. So how about that? And then he worked on Contract with America, and he kind of made a name for himself. But he's been out of Congress since 2010, still commenting on what's happening with both parties, etc., and now an ambassador to the Netherlands. Good for him. Like I said, bipartisan, we hardly ever get to use you. So when I can trot it out, oof, I'm going to bring it out. Bring out the big guns, the big B word, bipartisan. So rare to see that happen. Wow. Absolutely. And if you think nothing is happening on North Korea, think again. Nikki Haley says there's no point for a UN Security Council emergency session on North Korea. Why would she say that? She said an additional Security Council resolution that does not significantly increase the international pressure on North Korea has no value. In fact, it's worse than nothing, but it sends a message to the North Korean dictator that the international community is unwilling to seriously challenge him. So the time for talk is over. And we've heard that from a couple of different people. Yep, I agree. Time for talk is over, period. When it comes to the nut, Kim Jong-un. I'm jumping the fence. I'll meet you on the other side.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Lifetime Grace 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Tyler, time to go for our family walk.
Just let me nap a little longer.
You promised we'd get more active.
I know. How come you're so ready to go?
It's Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where'd you get them?
I ordered them from Superberries.com/radio, and right now we can get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus, we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait to try them. I'll get the dog.
I'll get the kids.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. You're listening to the best of America Tonight.
My family is just, I can't tell you how much they mean to me as far as, you know, we have baseball life, which I played for 15 years, obviously put a lot more time to that. But there's so much more that goes on in life.
All right, Jeff Bagwell, among those inducted into Cooperstown in the Hall of Fame, as I am a big baseball brat. I got to talk about it for a second here on America Tonight. So Jeff Bagwell was part of the Killer Bees and in its heyday with the Astros, deservedly so, in the Hall of Fame. He's not the only one. Pudge Rodriguez, also in the Hall of Fame. Really like Pudge. I covered Pudge when I covered the Texas Rangers, and he was excited to get sworn in to the Hall of Fame. Inducted is really the way to put it. Inducted to the Hall of Fame. Tim Raines, great baseball player, also inducted into the Hall of Fame. The former commissioner of the Major League Baseball, Bud Selig, I'm kind of lukewarm on him, but he's in the Hall of Fame now. And front office dude, guru, John Schuerholz, also in the Hall of Fame. I'll tell you what, it's really cool to go to Cooperstown because it's a beautiful place in upstate New York. And I guess more than 27,000 fans were there. I was there when Nolan Ryan was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And Bush was then the governor of Texas. And that was pretty exciting to be there. And it's always fun to go up to Cooperstown. So congratulations to all of them. It's a big honor to be in the Hall of Fame, no question about it. Who would be in the Hall of Fame when it comes to Congress? Tick, tick. Oh, yeah, a bunch of former people that I would put in that. No, I'm taking a swipe. But if only somebody would step forward and do something about the the agenda and actually make it move, like make something move on healthcare. I'm afraid we're going to be tossing that hot potato around for a while. I have a funny suspicion that that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen with that. We're going to know the end of Game of Thrones faster in this final season than we'll know what happens with health care, unfortunately. A lot of times on America Tonight, I'll talk about money. I'll talk about the markets. The Dow Jones heading into the weekend was really up. The NASDAQ and the S&P were down. It's been a pretty good year, though, for the stock market. The stock market overall. I am not an investment banker, but I've schooled myself on the market a bit, and you have to diversify. I mean, you could have money in gold, you could have money on the market, you could have money in a couple of different things. Even if you only have a little bit of money, it's a good way to stretch. Let's put it that way. But interesting from the financial point of view is the jury deliberations that are starting in what they call Pharma Bro. So the so-called pharmacy bro, Martin Shkreli, gets to vent his views on Facebook Live for at least another couple of days. Jurors will begin to weigh his fate on criminal fraud charges after a prosecutor ended closing legal arguments by telling jurors that he mistakenly calculated he was above the law. So what will this court decide? There's lots of evidence and legal arguments in this four-week deal where the jurors, the defense, talked about him as a hyper-intelligent healthcare industry entrepreneur who never knowingly deceived investors in his company. But the prosecution says that clearly they talked about shares in one of the companies at below market prices could raise legal problems if, et cetera, et cetera. So they say that his choices were to lie, deceive, and cheat. You know, here's the deal. Who lost what? And that's part of what they're wrestling with. The social media presence is pretty heavy with him. And he says that his case is a silly witch hunt perpetrated by self-serving prosecutors. And he's thankful that his amazing attorney sent them back to junior varsity where they belong. I love these Facebook Live videos, though. He referred to the jurors as he told his fans, I give them about 20 minutes before they free me. And he also used a video to resume his online references to a freelance journalist who wrote an opinion piece that was critical of Trump and drew his attention and a couple of other things too, because he's got people who are following him. And he gained notoriety, in case you have no idea what I'm talking about, a couple of years ago as the touring pharmaceutical CEO who imposed a 5,000% price hike on a medication used to treat a parasitic disease that typically strikes people with the HIV virus and others with weakened immune systems. So the case against him focuses on allegations that he defrauded investors in two healthcare-focused hedge funds by failing to disclose his role in a disastrous previous business and lying about the fund's financial performance. A little white lie here, allegedly, a little white lie there. What's the diff? That's kind of a confusing case. You know, if you were picked to be on the jury, I think they have to be really clear. They have to be really, really clear as to what the instructions are for the jury, because it's a little complicated. It's a little more technical than you would imagine. It's not straightforward. It's not as straightforward as you would think. And, you know, we do these Forbes books at bedtime, and we've met some fascinating people, and some of them have been from Charleston, South Carolina. You know, it's interesting. They talk about the Carolina coast drawing 7 million tourists annually because they have those, you know, roots back to the American Revolution. You've got Fort Sumter out in the distance. And now, besides the beaches and the history of Charleston in the past, you have a lot of tech companies coming there. They call it Silicon Harbor. 250 tech companies and about 11,000 people. So quietly, it's becoming a mid-sized U.S. metro area for IT growth. How about that? The tech jobs equal about 3% of jobs in that area and account for, they say, about 5% of the payroll of $14 billion last year. That's pretty big. They talk about affordability. They talk about a laid-back lifestyle. And they talk about other things about Charleston that are very appealing for people to move there, very appealing for these companies to pull people there because of what's happened in some of the more expensive areas, like talking about San Francisco and housing prices there and housing prices in Scottsdale and even in Austin, Texas, comparing Austin, Texas to Charleston. And they do say, as the as one politician says, think of Charleston as the Austin of South Carolina. Wow. The Austin of South Carolina. Yeah, there is something pretty interesting about Charleston. As you know, I spent some time there in the beginning of the year and thoroughly enjoyed it, as I had never been there before, not really, just kind of passing through, but to actually have a chance to have a chance to spend some real time there was really, really super, super fun. And a quick warning from us before we dump out to Forbes books at bedtime. They say millions of Americans are going to run outside on August 21st to gaze at the Great American Eclipse across the country, but please use eye protection. They do say that you could go blind from it. I never heard that before. A permanent damage. I mean, we did think that when we were kids, we were afraid because we were like, oh, don't look up, don't look up. So they talk about solar filters, special eclipse glasses, welder's goggles, whatever you use and whatever you have to do to see the partial eclipse. And they say that one available filter for safe solar viewing is the number 14, I'm going to look for these, the number 14 welder's glasses. Ooh, that's if you're in this path. And Charleston, by the way, South Carolina, is in the path of that eclipse. It's pretty cool to see it, that's for sure. Remember, August 21st. Stay with us for Books at Bedtime coming up.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. You're listening to the best of America Tonight.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
He's in our virtual green room right now, Ryan Jeneman. That's kind of a play on words. You'll find out why. He's the co-founder of the THC Design, and we're talking about the cannabis business. Ryan, thanks so much for popping on.
Thank you. I enjoy having it.
So let's just jump right into this. This is a really, really interesting time to be in this business and an interesting business. Tell us about it.
This industry has obviously become very, very popular in a short amount of time. Yeah. I'm growing incredibly fast. One thing that has already started to happen out in California before legalization has even gone into effect is supply has already started to outfeed demand. So this industry, although there is a lot of growth potential, it is not quite as easy an industry to get into as people think. Branding, advertising, your image has already, again, before legalization, started to trump all and become a very important aspect of the industry.
Wow. So in talking about that, I mean, how big truly is the cannabis industry? I think it's infinity. I think we're just at the not even at the tipping point of this, am I right?
Based off, you know, with the estimated projections you see coming out of groups such as ArcLight with their ArcView, with their, projections of what they anticipate sales to be in California, across the country, shows that there's going to be tremendous growth. They're anticipating this to be a larger market than the NFL within just 5 years.
Wow.
Not sure exactly how accurate all that is, but this is definitely a a very, very large market. Just in the most implicit explanation, I mean, I look at the percentage of people that I know that use cannabis from all walks of life and all demographics, and you just, you know, you do the simple math on that, and you see how much of the population is consuming this product. So
we're in this really interesting place where, and I'm sure you know the statistics right off the top of your head, some states have not legalized cannabis at all, some have legalized it only for medicinal purposes, and some have legalized it for recreational use. Can you just really quickly kind of walk us through the numbers on those three statistics so we have a sense for perspective?
Currently, and their states are changing so fast, I do not want to make a mistake, but currently 37 states have a form of medical cannabis laws.
Okay.
And in those 37 states, that's a little over three-fourths of the population that currently have some form of medical cannabis laws. Now, there are five states in the union that have recreation, plus the District of Columbia. And those five states, represent almost one-third of the country's population, primarily because of the size of California. That is, you know, where we are. So overwhelming percentage of country has access to medical marijuana. Overwhelming percentage of the country, as you're aware, supports medical marijuana. Any more in-depth that you want to go into any one of those aspects?
We probably could have a very long conversation about it. We're talking with Ryan Jeniman. He's the co-founder of THC Design. It is a company that is a cultivator of cannabis for legal use, medicinal and recreational, I'm assuming. I guess the thing that's worthy of talking about here is that this is a real business for you. This is a real industry. And I think people still have a stereotype in mind of what this is all about. But when I went to your website, for instance, at thcdesign.com, I see references to things like quality standards, small carbon footprint, advancement in science, community, advocacy. Can you tell us why your company and this industry at large is good for us as a population and us as a nation?
Most definitely. First of all, industry at large, obviously, I'm a huge cannabis supporter, huge cannabis advocate to be in the position I currently am. But industry at large, I worked in the sporting goods industry. I worked in the investment brokerage industry. Before I sort of had my late 20s crisis, moved to California and got into the cannabis industry. But what I'm getting at is overall the cannabis industry is, without stereotyping people, which I'm about to do, the cannabis industry for the most part is a lot of people that are environmentally conscious, truly like here to make the world a better place. Granted, everyone has different views of what they're wanting to do, but overall the cannabis industry is not someone that is trying to get employees at bottom dollar and then chisel down the state to even lower minimum wage. The cannabis industry in California on average is 80% above minimum wage. Cannabis industry consistently, because they have, had to sort of be in the shadows for so long. They operate their locations very cleanly, very safely. They've had to be their own security guards. So there's been multiple studies as of recent, one large one that just came out in the past couple of weeks, showing that unlike what, law enforcement had publicly been saying, that when cannabis locations opened up, crime rates went down. And when those locations, when those cannabis locations closed, wow, crime rates went back up. So multiple aspects there why the cannabis industry is not only good for the constituents, but safe. And then in regards to THC Design, I'm really excited about what our company's doing, and because we're growing plants and creating life, which is incredibly rewarding, also definitely feel like we need to be giving back to the community. So there's some, major issues in LA, such as the homeless epidemic, which coming from the Midwest, where I'm from Oklahoma, I've seen homeless. I've never seen it like the levels we have in Los Angeles. I did not think that was even possible in America, in my blissful ignorance. Furthermore, obviously, oceans, environment, like I said, considering we use water, we use utilities, I feel like us starting to take care of that or giving back is very, very important. And then you mentioned, quality and cutting edge technology. Yes, we employ, scientists within the company, biochemists. We have consultants consistently come in across the world, all to further advance our technology practices, because what we are doing, I truly believe, is a medicine and has medical value. And as this industry progresses, this medicine is going to become more and more mainstream than it currently is. And I want to make sure that our company is up to the standards of the highest quality medicine that, someone would expect coming out of a medical facility. So that's why we continue to push the bounds.
Wow, well said, especially talking about the homeless situation. I understand. I've seen it in Los Angeles. It's outrageous. I think people don't realize that. I agree with you. What about the taxes? People always talk about the taxes and the tax revenues. There was just a big thing that came out about what's happened in Colorado and how most of that money is funneled into the schools. So it kind of goes along with what you're saying about homeless and being able to give back. But how are the tax revenues and how big are the taxes on it? Do you think the taxes are fair?
Well, I chuckle because no business, and I'm not to sound rude, no business, I'm never going to say that the taxes are fair. I'm always going to think they need to be less. And right now, one of the issues that has really happened in cannabis is because everyone's so desperate to get these laws moving forward and to get things on the plate, because most of, I'm not sure if you're aware, even Los Angeles to this day has never issued a single permit for cannabis activity in the last 20 years. So they're very behind and trying to get things moving forward is very much an issue. So as we are working on the taxes, everyone brings that up, from myself to my lobbyists to the political organizations I'm involved with. They bring up taxes because it's a way to get the politicians to be on your side when you say you can bring in money to their constituents or to their district. But at the same time, cannabis is being taxed at every single level, at the production level, at the retail level. It's taxed when it goes in between two producers. If it goes from someone who cultivated the product to someone who manufactured the product, it gets taxed. Then when it goes from the manufacturer to the retail, it gets taxed again. And then when it goes to the retail, to the consumer, it gets taxed again.
So I'm going to cut you off for a sec, Ryan. Most of us won't know the answer to this question. I don't know the answer to this question. Is that different than how, for instance, alcohol or soft drinks are taxed?
It is different than alcohol is not taxed at every level. It is taxed from production to distribution to retail. So there is one more level that alcohol, or one more level that cannabis is taxed compared to alcohol. And I cannot answer the soft drink question, sir. I'm not confident on that.
All right, last question. We have like 30 seconds left. I want to get this in here. What keeps you up at night after everything we just talked about?
What keeps me up at night? Still, this ever-changing industry. What we're marketing is a nightclub. This is something where they're always looking for something hot and new. They always want something new and different. So again, it is marketing a nightclub. So what keeps me up at night is I'm not just a farmer. I have to constantly be marketing an image or a nightclub and staying up with what the market, says is cool, or keeping up with the general populace.
All right, Ryan Gentleman, thanks so much, co-founder of THC Design. You can check it out at thcdesign.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you one of the 15 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate? If your life revolves around finding the closest bathroom, if you're tired of waking up many times a night to urinate, then you need to know about Prostate Miracle. Prostate Miracle contains beta-cytosterol, which is 3,000 times stronger than salt palmetto. To claim your $10 Patriot discount, go to ProstateMiracle.com and enter promo code PATRIOT. Or call 877-965-2140. That's 877-965-2140.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
And membership is only $9.95.
Yep. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
At Humalife, we believe your health is your wealth. That's why we offer an exclusive, potent, and pure selection of OMRI-certified 100% organic humic and fulvic acid concentrates. These two acids stop viruses and harmful bacteria and increase frequency, vibration, and vitality. In fact, they're called the missing link to your health. Pure liquid organic ATP energy rebuilds and regrows the immune system. You are the doctor at Humalife. You know best because you are the test. Find out more at HumalifeUSA.com. That's HumalifeUSA.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. You're listening to the best of America Tonight. It was shocking. It was just a handful of days ago that Senator John McCain was diagnosed with brain cancer, and I know that that's been a conversation a lot of people are having, that they know somebody who had brain cancer, or, oh my gosh, what is this about, and what kind of surgery do you have to have, and whatnot. So who better to join us on the show than Dr. Philip Stieg, founder and chair of the Weill Cornell Medical Brain and Spine Center, and president of the Brain Tumor Foundation as well. And we could go on and on about Dr. Stieg's resume, and certainly this is his expertise. Dr. Stieg, I can imagine a lot of people were asking you about Senator McCain. So first of all, what kind of brain cancer was he diagnosed with?
He was diagnosed with what is the most common form of primary brain tumor, which is a tumor that originates in the brain that we see in the glial category. It's called a glioblastoma, and when we think about glial tumors, they're graded on a scale of 1 to 3, 3 being the worst, and his being a glioblastoma makes it a grade 3. So it's the most aggressive form of glial tumor that we have to deal with as neurosurgeons.
Yeah, and so when we hear that, and we kept hearing the word aggressive, what does that mean as far as surgery is concerned? What's typically what happens?
Well, typically what happens is once a diagnosis is made, then the protocol that we try to follow is an aggressive surgical resection followed by radiation therapy with concurrent chemotherapy. The extent of the resection is obviously dependent upon the size of the tumor and the location of the tumor. If the tumor is in what we refer to as eloquent brain, meaning the visual cortex, the speech cortex, or the motor cortex, then we're limited in regard to the extent of resection that we can perform, because this is a tumor that it's an infiltrative tumor and it sends little tentacles into the normal brain, and there isn't a real boundary. You don't know when you've reached the end of it. So there's a limit to how much we can resect.
Is this typical what you see? Because as you know, when he went in, when the senator went in, he was there to just remove a blood clot from above his left eye, and that's what they found.
It's not the most common presentation for this type of tumor. They are known to bleed, but more commonly they would present with either a seizure or with some neurologic deficit, again, dependent upon where the tumor is located.
Yeah, and when you actually do the surgery, you know, you and I have talked about the kinds of surgery that you can have. You talked about the surgery, of course, where often typically you're awake. In this kind of a surgery, would the person be awake?
Most probably he was not. I have not seen his scans, so I don't know exactly where the tumor is located. That being said, given the approach that they took, I suspect he was asleep and they resected the tumor without him being awake. As we talked about earlier, the only times we really do awake surgery is when the tumor is located in those eloquent areas of the brain.
Yeah, and the reason you and I have talked about that before, the reason is, well, there's a couple factors. I mean, first of all, from the layman's terms, I think it's amazing that you do that, but it's because of speech, etc., so you can tell what's happening, right, by what you're doing back to the patient.
Right. The reason for doing the awake surgery is that we want to know exactly where we are in their brain, and while they're awake, we can test the function that we're worried about losing during the surgical procedure. So if the tumor were in his speech cortex or if it was in his motor cortex, we would most commonly do that awake.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. One of the things the doctor said is that McCain, with this aggressive tumor, he was oriented, he had good balance, he had no headaches, no seizures, that kind of stuff. And the senator is someone who's had other malignant melanomas removed a couple of times, I guess like three of them. And he gets a lot of these kind of screenings and whatnot. And this was a significant operation, obviously, as you know. And, you know, with the bone underneath the eyebrow had to be removed to do the procedure and then put back. Wow, why? I've never heard of that. That's typical? That's common?
It's a new approach that we use in neurosurgery. We commonly use the term minimal access or minimally invasive surgery. The reason for doing that is the recovery is faster, and he obviously had an exceptionally quick recovery. He was discharged from the hospital within 24 hours. So that's all beneficial for the patient. It also speaks to the fact, hopefully, again, I haven't seen the scans, that the tumor was caught early and that it was small and contained within the hemorrhagic or the bleeding area that they found.
Yeah, one of the things that I read, and also you would know this too, the mortality rate, but one of the things I read is there were some statistics from a study that was done back in 2009, and the study said that almost 10% of patients with that live maybe 5 years or longer, and this is from the American Brain Tumor Association. Again, Lena, looking at mortality rates, of course, who knows, but is that typical too as well?
Yeah, as I said earlier, this is the most aggressive type of tumor that we deal with. We don't use the word cancer because it doesn't spread to other parts of the body, but unfortunately it's in your brain, and as it continuously recurs, the average survival is 14 to 16 months overall. Again, having hopefully caught it early, and if he is a good responder, there are also a number of molecular markers that we use now, and those are predictors for long-term prognosis. So hopefully he has all the appropriate markers and he will respond to the radiation and the chemotherapy.
Yeah, and you said this in the beginning, too, with the radiation and the chemotherapy. What's the typical course for that for most people? Because as we're discussing how aggressive it is.
Most people will go, we would wait after the surgery, wait several weeks for the wound to heal because radiation is hard on the scalp. And then it's 5 weeks of radiation with concurrent chemotherapy. And then subsequently the patient will get chemotherapy at regular intervals.
Yeah, you just did a presentation at the annual meeting of the European low-grade, is it glioma? Glioma Network. And in doing that, the focus there was the early detection. So what's the early detection from the physician's point of view?
What we're trying to look at is to determine the cost effectiveness of getting MRI scans. Mm-hmm. And we do, you know, not a full sequence of MRI, which can be expensive and time consuming, but a person could come in at periods in their life, or certainly people that are at high risk. And Senator McCain was at high risk, not necessarily for a glioblastoma, but for a metastatic melanoma, because they can frequently go to the brain. So you would get a quick scan that would help you detect early either metastases or a primary tumor. The major issue is everybody would like to have a scan, wouldn't you, just to make sure that you don't have any problem.
Yes.
But this is very much like mammography, you know, the discussion that goes on with that. I mean, how cost-effective is it? Can we afford to scan every citizen in the United States to rule out that they've got a brain tumor when, you know, the incidence, say, of glioblastomas is not really high. It's about 30,000 patients per year.
Yeah, glioblastoma. When we talk about that, and we talk about ages and whatnot, this across the board, you can see this. And he's 80 years old, but it could happen at any age, right?
Absolutely. You know, we see them in 30-year-olds, we see them in 50-year-olds, and we see them in 80-year-olds. You know, some people think that we're seeing more of them. It is a slight uptick, but part of the issue is we're all living longer. And, you know, 30 years ago, individuals died of heart disease and lung disease from too much cigarette smoke. And now we're living, and other things are creeping up.
Yeah, wow. And this is, too, and I looked this up to make sure I was right, Dr. Stieg, but this is the same kind of brain tumor that Senator Ted Kennedy had, if I recall.
It is. Hopefully the difference is that Senator Kennedy's tumor was in an eloquent part of his brain so that they couldn't get what is called a gross total excision. And that, again, has an impact on long-term prognosis for a patient, whereas Senator McCain's was in his frontal lobe. That is a more forgiving area. Hopefully they were able to be aggressive and get a complete resection.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Philip Stieg, founder and chair of the Weill Cornell Medical Brain and Spine Center, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. Good to talk with you.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.